This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you missed the breaking news, Gerrit Cole has signed a 9-year, $324 million deal with the New York Yankees. Yes, you did hear me correctly. That is not a typo. I do make mistakes, but this one's not a mistake. 9 years, $324 million, which averages out to $36 million per season if he pitches over the life of the deal. And if he makes as many starts as he did in 2019, 33, my favorite number, he will earn more than $1 million per start. Now, that's, of course, assuming the Yankees go deep in the postseason like the Astros did in reaching the World Series again. If you look at the last 2 years with the Houston Astros, the numbers are incredible. 35 wins, 10 losses. The fact that he made 45 starts is impressive. 2.68 ERA. So only slightly higher than his average this season. At 2.5, he was best in the American League. By the way, he did not win the Cy Young. And he had 602 strikeouts over the past two seasons. More than half of those coming this year. A career-high 326 Ks, which was tops in all of Major League Baseball. Most total money, highest average annual salary for a pitcher. There is a no-trade clause, a full no-trade clause for Gerrit Cole. And reportedly an opt-out clause after 5 years. I haven't seen the specifics yet. I don't know if it's an opt-out for both the Yankees and Cole. If it's only a player opt-out or if it's a team option. Either way, if you're Gerrit Cole and you're 34 years old after the 5 years of the contract, I don't know why you'd opt out. I have no idea why you would opt out, because I can't imagine another team is going to pay you $36 million a year. In fact, the Dodgers and Yankees were really the only two that Cole was considering in the end. According to various sources, his top priority was to go to a World Series contender. So he got a taste of the World Series with the Astros this past fall and wants to win one. Came down to Dodgers and Yankees wanting to go to a contender, eliminated the Angels, which were his hometown team. But the Dodgers couldn't match the money. Now, I wonder how high the Dodgers are willing to go. So I kind of feel like the Yankees may have gone so far over the top that they left no room for doubt that the Dodgers weren't going to be able to match. And it feels to me like the Steven Strasburg contract was irrelevant. The Yankees didn't need to go so far over the Steven Strasburg contract unless they were worried about the Dodgers grabbing him. And we know that Brian Cashman had indicated, Steinbrenner family, the Yankees front office, they were willing to break the bank for Gerrit Cole. He's the player they've wanted for years. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. They found a better way to mortgage so you can focus on making your new house a home. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. A lot of you weighing in on our Facebook page, named after the show, and on Twitter, A-Law Radio. We're asking you to fill in the blank. Gerrit Cole's contract is what? Again, there are only a couple of teams. We've talked about this for months. Only a couple teams that could afford this price tag. Thankfully for Gerrit Cole, it was two teams that he wanted to play for. So we had talked about the White Sox phenomenon and how they were in the running for a couple of different players. They're willing to pay the money, but because they're so far off the radar, because they've been irrelevant as a franchise, players are not willing to go there. Not all players are willing to go there. Players who are making World Series or bust a priority are not willing to go there. I have to sneeze. I don't know why. Did that go over the air? Mm-hmm. I reached over for a button. I didn't know if I was turning off my mic or if I was going to hit the dump button. But I hope you did not hear me sneeze. Very weird. I don't know why. I don't have a cold or anything. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. We're 30 minutes away from you getting to Ask Me Anything. Oh, yay. Ask Amy Anything, part of the Hump Show. So look for the bright orange box on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or also on our Facebook page when you're sending your reaction to Gerrit Cole. It's a minor deal compared to Cole, but the Yankees lose Didi Gregorius to the Philadelphia Phillies. And this, I think, is an interesting twist. With Joe Girardi going to Philadelphia, you can understand why managers and coaches want to bring in players that have already been in their locker rooms or their clubhouses, that are familiar with their style, that can kind of help establish their culture. And it's not just Joe Girardi being comfortable with Didi Gregorius. It's Girardi knowing that Didi is going to be one of those guys who's already bought in. He doesn't have to convince everybody in the clubhouse because at least Didi is on board. And so MLB Network, with a lot of breaking news from the winter meetings, Tom Verducci reacting to the Didi to Philly news.
He's an upbeat guy. Teammates love him. Always comes to the park with a smile on his face. Down year. So I like the idea of him reestablishing the value. 279 on-base percentage. That's not going to cut it. That was 2019 for Didi. But again, coming off of Tommy John surgery, I think he was still feeling the residual effects. Wasn't totally healthy until probably later in the season. But I like the idea of him going back there and trying to reestablish his value.
I like the idea that he's reunited with a manager that he's comfortable with, too. I mean, I like the fact that he's going to get an opportunity. There are a lot of different ways that the Yankees can line up their infield. They because of all the injuries they had this season, they were forced to turn to younger players. They cultivated, there we go. They cultivated some younger talent that they probably weren't expecting to use at all or nearly as much this season. They got a wealth of hitters and had to make some tougher decisions, I think, during the postseason. So I'm excited for Didi Gregorius, one-year deal, $14 million. But also, I think it's cool for Girardi. I'm glad to see Girardi back managing as well. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. I'm intrigued by your reaction that Gerrit Cole is overpaid. Overpaid according to whom? I mean, if the Yankees are willing to pay him the money, what do you care? Now, I am willing to engage in the argument that it's bad for Major League Baseball, that there's no salary cap. Because I would agree, if you only have one or two teams that can afford to pay the salary like this, well, it doesn't necessarily have to tip the competitive scales, but it could. All right, so you can say the Yankees are trying to buy a World Series. And I guess if you want to use that cliche, fine. But Gerrit Cole was on the Astros. Did they win? Nope. Gerrit Cole's coming off an historical season, plus they had the Cy Young Award winner. Did they win the World Series? No. So is Gerrit Cole all of a sudden a much better pitcher because the Yankees are paying him $324 million? No. He was in an incredible groove. So was Verlander. They still lost. Money matters none when you step on the field in between the white lines. It's the money that it takes to get him there. But he still has to perform. The team has to perform around him. And You better hope that someone else doesn't perform better than they do. When it came down to it against the Astros, the Yankees couldn't get the timely hitting they needed. I thought pitching would be their weakness. It was actually runners in scoring position. The Astros fell flat when it came to the World Series. They didn't come up with the big hits that the Nationals did. Not as much as the Nationals did. So you can spend all the money you want, but that money doesn't buy you squat. It buys you personnel. It doesn't buy you wins. Let's just say, for the sake of argument, and I'm hoping this doesn't happen, I never root for players to get injured. I don't crow or get excited when it does happen. I don't want anyone to get hurt. But Gerrit Cole could get hurt in spring training. He could need Tommy John surgery and not see a single inning in 2020. I have to change my way of thinking. I've been saying 2000 for so long. Now 2020 is unnatural. 2020? No, that sounds weird too. He could get hurt. Any player can get hurt. That's part of the risk with professional sports. I mean, it's part of the risk with your club sport, with your beer league softball team too. There's no guarantee. But I do understand your point that if you only have so many teams that can afford the top flight free agents, it's not competitive across the board. And that's true. There is truth to that. Now, baseball is instituted, we can't call it a salary cap because teams are still allowed to spend as much money as they want. But by instituting this luxury tax threshold, by penalizing teams heavily, the more they go over this luxury tax number, essentially, once you get past a certain amount of money spent, you start having to pay into the coffers. You have to pay into a big old pot, and it gets spread out among the other teams. So the other teams are making money off the Yankees going over this luxury tax threshold. It's, of course, up to those other teams if they choose to spend it on their rosters or if they choose to use it as revenue. But it is a major difference between Major League Baseball and the NFL. The NFL is a hard salary cap. We see players become victims of the salary cap all the time. Teams cannot keep everybody. They cannot pay everybody. Which is why I saw this really cool nerd alert as I was doing my research for my weekly column on Tuesday. Last year, so 2018, 7 teams made the playoffs that did not make the playoffs the year before. Do you know, and we'll likely have it again this season, but I can't say 30 years yet. For 29 straight years, at least 4 new teams have made the playoffs every January. For 29 straight seasons, there's been a turnover in the NFL playoffs of at least 4 teams. And last year, there were 7 new teams in the playoffs that weren't there the year before. That doesn't often, well, there aren't as many teams in the baseball playoffs, but you catch my drift. It's a lot of the same teams over and over. The NFL has a hard salary cap. You can't go over it, period. There are creative ways to try to fit yourself under it, your team under it. But there's no leeway, there's no loophole. You have to be under the salary cap. And because of that, every year the NFL has teams go from worst to first. Every year the NFL has teams that did not make the playoffs the year before who are playing in January. And I love that about the NFL. It is possible and likely to change your roster and to change your direction, to change your fate. Now, you have to avoid major injuries. Those players have to perform. But this is why we see the turnover every season. For the past nearly 30 years, at least four teams have made the NFL playoffs that weren't there the year before. Nerd alert! Isn't that a cool stat? You want to talk about turnover? That's amazing. And last year, seven teams that didn't
take
make the playoffs.
Take that for data.
Oh, David Fizdale. Last thing he said about the Knicks is they were sickening, and then boom, he was gone. So that doesn't really happen in baseball. You don't see that kind of turnover. Every now and then, you'll see a new team, some fresh blood. But I would agree with you, being able to spend $324 million on one player can affect competitiveness. It's not a level playing field when only two teams can afford this free agent. His team, his own team, the team that he was with, couldn't afford him. A-Law Radio is where you can find me on Twitter. On our Facebook page, too, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. I've been promising you Jerry Jones to make you giggle.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
The confidence hasn't wavered, but we've got to figure it out. The thing that gives us confidence is the players, the skill level that we have, the way that I see guys prepare, the way that guys go about their business each and every day. But we've got to figure out what it is on game day to flip the switch and get the job done. No excuses.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Dak Prescott, no excuses. Well, if he's going to be that kind of leader, he's got to go out there and continue to put up the numbers that he is, but also help the team find a way to win. Three consecutive losses for the Cowboys, and with the Eagles' win on Monday Night Football, those two teams are now tied with a losing record atop the NFC East. I don't remember how many years ago it was, but I do recall the Carolina Panthers once won the NFC South with a record of 7-8-1. It wasn't that long ago. It was sometime in the last decade, I believe. And the first year that Pete Carroll took over with the Seahawks, which I think was 2010, the Seahawks also won the NFC West with a losing record. So it does happen. Now, there's still a chance that either the Cowboys or the Eagles could finish above 500. And, of course, one of them will get a win at the expense of the other in Week 16. But it's been a real down year for that division, to be sure. I kind of see down years. I think they drag each other down. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line here on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks for tuning in to After Hours. We've got Ask Amy Anything in 15 minutes, so you can send your final questions to Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page. So, Jerry Jones does a weekly conversation, a weekly interview with our Dallas affiliate, 105.3 The Fan. And we'll give you the boring stuff. I mean, it's not always boring, but a lot of times it's just Jerry talking in circles around the questions about Dak Prescott, how much are they going to pay him, around Jason Garrett, how much longer he's going to be the head coach, about how poorly the team is playing, about underachieving, all that jazz. And he generally manages to deflect really well, though we have heard him get frustrated some and vent on 105.3 The Fan. Well, last Friday morning, on the heels of the Bears beating the Cowboys at Soldier Field, so that goes back to the beginning of Week 14. Man, it feels like forever ago, right? But it was really not even a week ago. On the heels of that loss, Mitch Trubisky looking like an all-star, or Pro Bowl, or whatevs, Jerry Jones then does a Friday morning appearance on 105.3 in Dallas. And as the hosts start to get down to the nitty-gritty, I mean, they just dive right in. Jerry is not having it.
Are you embarrassed as an organization about how the team is playing?
Get your damn act together yourself, okay? Now, we're going to have a good visit this morning, but settle down just a little bit.
I mean, as a Cowboys fan, Jerry,
a lot to go over. Now, go on with your question, but I'm going to give you the answers I want to give you this morning, and I don't like your attitude. Come in. I've been traveling all night, and I don't have the patience to jack with you today.
I told you it was going to make you laugh. I've been traveling all night, and I don't have the patience to jack with you today. But the best part is, okay, so this is the very beginning of the interview. We listened to the first 5 seconds. It's relatively benign. And then Sean and RJ jump in with, are you embarrassed by how this franchise is performing? And Jerry Jones just takes exception to it. And that is the end of that. He decides, well, this is his way of deflecting. But I don't know. I think he just didn't like the question, and he's frustrated by the team losing. But how did the host have a bad attitude?
Are you embarrassed as an organization about how the team is playing?
Get your damn act together, yourself. Okay. Now we're going to have a good visit this morning, but
okay.
Settle down just a little bit.
I mean, as a Cowboys fan, Jerry,
a lot to go over. Now go on with your question, but. I'm going to give you the answers I want to give you this morning, and I don't like your attitude. Come in. I've been traveling all night, and I don't have the patience to jack with you today.
Well, I don't like your attitude. Maybe it's just me. I mean, I'll admit that I see things more through the eyes of a radio host than I do through the eyes of Jerry Jones, general manager. But did you hear an attitude of some sort? I didn't.
I don't have the patience to jack with you today.
Well, that's true. But it's nothing to do with the hosts. This is just about Jerry and everything he's bringing to the table with him. I'm sure he's exhausted. He's cranky. He's frustrated. He feels powerless. And of course, he's always on TV looking that way as well. You just need to get your attitude right. I'm trying to decide what I would have said in that moment if Jerry or anyone said those things to me. Trying to keep in mind the context of where he's coming from. And clearly attacking, it's displaced aggression. He's attacking the hosts because he doesn't want to answer the questions, because he doesn't really have answers to the questions. And because he's tired of the same old, same old. I'm sure he'd rather be attacking the Cowboys or Jason Garrett, but that wasn't an option at that moment.
Now we're going to have a good visit this morning, but settle down just a little bit.
Honestly, I think there's a part of me that I would blush, I'd get red because I was embarrassed. Not that anybody could see that, and I would get all hot, like hot under the collar, probably a little sweaty, but I might laugh. That's what I tend to do when I'm nervous. But also the irony of it all. He's accusing them of having an attitude. And just the fact that he jumped on them so quickly, it had to have taken them by surprise. Unless they had a conversation with him before they put him on the air, which I don't know if that's what they do. Again, that's 105.3 The Fan, our Dallas affiliate.
Are you embarrassed as an organization about how the team is playing?
Get your damn act together.
If an NFL general manager said that to me, honestly, I think I would be taken aback enough that I wouldn't respond right away. I think I've gotten better later in my career at waiting to see what happens. It's a rule that I learned. If you aren't listening, you're going to miss the best stuff. If all you do is talk and you stick to an agenda, you're going to miss some really good stuff. You got to pay attention to what's happening with your guests. Pay attention to what they're saying. And I think it's radio gold without the host having to say a whole lot. Now, there is a history there, obviously. Jerry Jones does a weekly interview with this radio station, with this radio team, Sean and RJ. Oh, you know what's actually kind of funny? A couple of weeks ago when I was talking about how you don't fire Jason Garrett in the middle of a season when your team is still in the running. Oh, actually, so someone's telling me on Twitter it wasn't Sean and RJ. I have no idea. I'm not in Dallas. Doesn't he typically do his interview with Sean and RJ? Okay. Either way, I apologize if I have the wrong show. But a couple of weeks ago, when I was taking the stand that you do not fire your head coach in the middle of a season when your team still could win a division title and host a playoff game, there were some Dallas fans who were sending me some, you know, choice tweets and calling me names. And Sean started retweeting them. So you know what? You go, Jerry Jones. You give him hell. I don't care. He didn't support me, so I don't need to support him. Get your damn act together. We're going to have a good visit, but we're going to do it my way.
Are you embarrassed as an organization about how the team is playing?
Get your damn act together.
Would it be bad if someone said that to me and I laughed? It probably would be, right? That would be unprofessional. Chris is like nodding his head. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Coming up next, Ask Amy Anything. You can ask me if I'm going to get my damn act together. You can send your last minute questions to our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, or post them on our Facebook page. Thanks for tuning in. Here's our latest sports update.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Okay, let's clear up a few details before we get to your questions for Ask Amy Anything. I'm hearing from our Dallas listeners that this was not the regular show that Jerry Jones appears on. Friday morning, he was on a different show, so maybe his lack of familiarity with the hosts that he was talking to led to some of his comments. Still, though, it's mostly about his mood. He was in a mood. And I can understand if I were Jerry Jones, I'd be in a mood as well. I don't have the patience to jack with you this morning. Okay, so it was Kevin and Corey on the KNC Masterpiece. That's all I know. Glad to have you Dallas listeners cluing me in. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. I do have the patience to jack with you, though, and your questions for Ask Amy Anything. So Chris has got them here on After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
That I do. And a big theme tonight, of course, has been Gerrit Cole's $324 million contract.
You want to ask me about that?
And Craig wants to know, what are some things you would buy if you walked into that much money?
Some things that I would buy. Let's see. I would buy a house and pay for it outright so I didn't have to worry about a mortgage. Right now, other family members, none of my other family members are in the market to buy houses, but I would definitely pay off my brother's and my mom's mortgages. I'd probably buy some land somewhere, and whether it's today or down the road in the future, I would definitely buy a horse. I want a horse. More than I really want a nice house, I want to have a horse someday and a plot of land where I can ride him. So maybe some open space, but some woods somewhere in the Midwest. That'd be fun. Maybe in Wisconsin, God's country. I'm trying to think what else. I'm good. I don't need a new car. I just got a relatively new vehicle recently that's good for me. I would definitely start a foundation of some sort. There are a lot of different things that I do when I'm contributing money and a lot of different causes that I participate in, whether financially or, whether participating in them myself. And so, yeah, I would definitely start a foundation and find ways to share that money with other people. Although, honestly, I think the worst part would be having everyone know that you've got that kind of money, because then you become a target. That I'd probably spend my money on having a financial planner and an advisor as well.
You have a lot of friends you didn't know you had.
Yeah, I mean, this is why I protect my identity and my address and my phone number at all costs.
So Mark wants to know, he says, hey, I just drove back from Massachusetts to Houston over the weekend. Have you ever road tripped that distance before?
Yeah, actually twice in the last 5 years. I drove from New York City to Houston because my mom lives there, and that's where I spent Christmas, and I wanted to take my dog. So not quite as far as Mass to Houston, but I took the long route. I went down to Atlanta and then twice made the trip from Atlanta to Houston in one day, 15 and a half hours driving, and I did not allow Penny to drive, so it was all me. I think my other longest road trips have been, let's see, where was I? New Hampshire to Oklahoma City, because I, well, to actually to the panhandle of Oklahoma was my first job out there. Because when I moved and took a job in Oklahoma, I had to move all my stuff from New England with a U-Haul, pulling my car, and move to Oklahoma. So those would probably be my longest road trips that I've ever taken.
Another driving question from Kobe. He says, with the winter season beginning, what is the worst winter driving experience?
Didn't we just do this not that long ago?
I don't know. Maybe.
I mean, I've had a couple. I've done a lot of driving, a lot of winter driving. I've had two accidents in snow and ice. One of them was scary as all get out because I was driving a company vehicle and the cruise control had been... it had been engaging on its own. I'm not exactly sure how it was happening, but it was an older vehicle. And every now and then the cruise control would just kick in by itself. And I hit this stretch downhill of snow and ice. This is when I was working in New Hampshire. I hit this stretch of snow and ice, and all of a sudden the cruise control kicks in. And I was freaked out, of course. I'm hitting the brakes. Nothing's happening. But you don't want to hit the brakes too hard because you could send your vehicle into a fishtail and a skid. And I didn't know what to do. I didn't think about turning off the car. But at this point, we're flying down this road. And I go right into someone's yard. And I'm literally heading for their front room. I mean, heading for their living room. And thankfully, their yard had a ledge with some rocks on it. And the car leapt up over the ledge but got stuck on the rocks and stopped maybe 6 feet short of driving up through their front porch and into their living room. It was really scary because I had no control. All I could do was steer. I could not get the car to stop or to slow down, and it just kept picking up speed. It was really scary. Another one, I had just gotten my Saturn Ion. So this is the first new car I ever purchased. I purchased it 2003, I believe. Had it for 10 years. Anyway, I had it not that long, and I was driving home from my previous network. So it was in Connecticut, and I was driving home to Rhode Island. I was driving through some mountains, and it was a nasty snowstorm near whiteout conditions. I shouldn't have been on the road. I should have stayed at work. Anyway, I do a full 360 and then another 180. So I spin one full time and another half time, and I end up slammed against the guardrail in the middle of the highway, pointed the wrong direction. So that was also scary. Now, thankfully, it was the back corner of the car that took the impact, and they were able to fix it. They wanted to total the car, but I had just purchased it and was like, no, please fix it. And it actually turned out not to be as bad, and the car ran for another 8 years with no problems. But that was also scary because I was along for the ride.
I don't think we heard those stories.
Well, I told you some different ones. I did tell a couple of different stories a few weeks ago.
Oh, so. My goodness. Well, yeah. Danny, more positive note here. Danny says, Amy, today is my birthday.
Happy birthday.
He's turning 41, but he says he's much younger at heart.
He even told us how old he's turning.
That's right.
Only men do that. Women do not do that.
That is for sure. He wants to know, what are some of your best birthday memories?
Oh, gosh. Well, when I was 16, it was actually a great memory. It turned into a terrible memory. My 16th birthday, my mom let me travel to Florida for the first time all by myself. I got to stay in Pensacola with a friend of mine who was already in college, and my mom knew her well, and so she felt comfortable allowing me to spend the weekend with her in Pensacola. Except it was early April. I had zero tan. I was coming from New Hampshire, and we laid out on the beach, and my friend did not tell me to put sunscreen on. Again, I was 16, so I didn't really understand how different the rays are in Florida, especially in April versus what you get in New Hampshire. I got the worst sunburn of my entire life. I'm talking blistering to the point where my shirt was sticking to me. My eyes were nearly swollen shut. So it went from being one of the greatest memories, my 16th birthday, my sweet 16, getting to travel to Florida like I was an adult, into a nightmare because I had this awful burn. I was only in the sun for 45 minutes, but I was already baking, and it just, the blisters, oh, it was terrible, the pain. So yeah, I would say that was memorable for multiple reasons.
Yeah, well, definitely a memory. Good or bad is a coin flip on that one. Robert wants to know if you could choose to spend Christmas either in a white Christmas or on a beach, which would be
Oh, come on. I mean, can anybody who knows me can answer that question. I'm a New Hampshire girl. I do real Christmas trees. I do real fireplaces. I do charcoal grills, and I do snow for Christmas. I am a New Hampshire girl. I do not do the beach for Christmas. Sorry.
Scott wants to know, is it a tradition for you to go around your neighborhood and view some of the lights and ornaments that are on some neighbors' lawns?
I can't really help it. My neighborhood is crazy town when it comes to decorating. So my dog and I walk about 2.5 miles per day. And I mean, sometimes I sneak snap videos of the decorations that my neighbors have just to prove to everyone that they have jumped the shark. I mean, there is a gigantic polar bear in the yard next to me. Penny almost peed on it last night. I was like, Penny, get away from the polar bear. Anyway, it was collapsed. It was laying on the ground, and she peed dangerously close to it. Thank you for caring. Anyway, so yes, I do see them. There's this amazing place near my mom's house in Magnolia, which is where she lives. It's a northwest suburb of Houston. And this man, he's been doing this for years and years. He spends millions of dollars on this incredible light display, and it's probably a full acre, and it's all these cool like tributes to various parts of the country, Texas flair, and it's amazing, Santa, and I mean it's phenomenal. And so you have people that will go and experience those lights. You can see the light shining from miles away. That's how bright it is. It's awesome.
When I was in Atlanta on my trip recently, my father's best friend lives in a cul-de-sac, and they do a group get together and they all set up their yards at the same time. It is amazing. Thousands and thousands of dollars spent on those decorations.
Yes, yes.
Really cool. Normally we don't allow sports questions, but I'm going to allow this one because I think you'll like it.
Okay.
Billy wants to know, do you think this is the year that Jumbo Joe will raise the cup in San Jose?
Oh, my Joe! My favorite hockey player of all time. I mean, I hope so. They've been really inconsistent so far this season. They play great, and then they go 3 or 4 games, and they can't get the big goals. I'm so thrilled that he's back, and I will go and see multiple Sharks games this year. I went last year to Pittsburgh to see the Sharks play in Pittsburgh because I wanted to be sure I got to see him play again in case he retired. So I'll go see him when he's in New York and maybe some other northeastern cities, but I hope so. I would love it. It'd be like a Ray Bourque type of a thing. And others. There are plenty of other guys who've been traded to teams where they've won the cup right before they retired.
Jeff wants to know, what is the better game day snack, pretzels or potato chips?
Well, if they're hint of lime Tostitos or hint of jalapeno Tostitos, they've grown on me, those are better. However, pretzels you can put into some type of a snack mix, and pretzels dipped in chocolate. Have you guys ever had those? Yeah. Pretzels dipped in chocolate are phenomenal. So I'll go with Tostitos, hint of lime, unless my pretzels are dipped in chocolate, which now makes me hungry and makes me excited for Christmas cookie baking day, which comes up this weekend. Thanks for your questions. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.